Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast and another episode in our series of Life in Lockdown. How are you doing, Vicky?
I am okay. Feeling quite heavy today.
Yeah.
Feeling the weight of everything that's going on right now, which I know we're going to talk more about in a minute. Yeah, feeling exhausted and feeling quite heavy. Yeah, it's a bit of an unusual place to begin a podcast, but I think it highlights the importance of compassion right now, and you know, meeting yourself where you are, and yeah, that's really where I am right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these are, with everything that's been going on in America and with the protests and just the pain and the grief of it, and also just it highlights, you know, continues to highlight what is going on, not just in America, but here and in every country, in terms of the, you know, the ongoing racism. And
yeah.
I think, yeah, so exactly the same, just a lot of grief and heaviness. If you are a white person listening that's thinking, what can I do? We thought we'd start off by just sharing some of the resources that we find really powerful and valuable and helpful in, yeah, working on active anti-racism, as our friend Laura Leon, I saw in a post, she described as active anti-racism. And I just think that is the key. We all need to be, white people all need to be proactively doing the work, shining a light on their inner racism, and also just doing what they can in their sphere of influence. And for me, recognizing it's here on the podcast and in our Instagram accounts, but also for me, it's a parent raising a white child, making sure that I do that. How do I talk to him about racism? You know, he's 4.5, and just making sure that his toys, you know, the books he reads, have an equal amount of children of all colors and not just dominated by white figures, which is a real issue. Playmobil, I will be back on that. Playmobil have been horrific in the way that they just have white figures, and you have to, any black figures, you have to order their spare parts. But yeah, I'm going to be looking at what I can do. I want to put a resource online for white parents of like how to use their influence as parents to raise this next generation with the white children recognizing, as they become white adults, their role, their very important role in dismantling racism. So Nova Reed, at Nova Reed on, no, actually this is Nova Reed, I think. Well, now I can't check. We'll put it in the show notes, but look up Nova Reed. She's an amazing woman to follow. She's a anti-racism activist, and I've done two podcasts with her on the Project Love podcast on anti-racism and white privilege and white supremacy and microaggressions. And she's got an amazing podcast now, Conversations with Nova, where she talks about that. And she has a fantastic anti-racism course, which I really recommend. Also, Leila Saad and her book, Me and White Supremacy. And Renier Dolodge. I always forget how the title is. Why no longer talk to white people about racism? I believe that's the title, yeah. That's another great one. And it's just, yeah, and just keep educating yourself, Googling, listen, watch the news, and yeah, do the work and see, ask yourself, where can I influence? Where can I play a part? And it's really uncomfortable work for a white person to acknowledge that we've benefited from our white privilege and the silence that we've been sitting in for a very long time. It's really uncomfortable work. So watch the shame spirals. the shame spirals. They are part of the process. I talk about that actually in the first episode with Nova. The shame spirals, which you just want to run away from. But breathe, use your tools to just, and that's the compassion, Vicky, is exactly what you talked about, that compassion. No level of discomfort can be reason enough to not do this work when you think about the centuries and thousands of years of pain that have been caused by white supremacy. And it needs to be white people that are the ones to dismantle this. We're the ones in the power to do that. So there's lots that can be done. But yeah, it's just also just sitting in that, the grief needs to come up. It needs to come up. And yeah, but it's heavy. Really heavy. It's really heavy. So yeah, a bit low energy for our podcast today, but I think that's as it should be. It wouldn't feel well if we were just bouncing along merrily in our bubble, forgetting what was going on out there. Then I think that would be white privilege in action. So yeah. Honoring the how we're feeling.
Yeah.
But that said, first, before I say that, are there any other resources you can think of that are good ones that you recommend people to follow?
So Jolyon Rubinstein is a friend of mine, and he's very active on Instagram, and he's been sharing so many resources today on his stories. I mean, that's today as a recording of this podcast, but he shares resources every day. I've been watching a lot of his stuff this morning, and from an education perspective, I definitely recommend following him. We'll include his handle in the show notes, but I think it's Jolyon Rubs on Instagram, and we'll include him in the show notes as well. And also I saw that Pandora Sykes had included some books as well to read, a couple of them you just mentioned, Sally. I mean, I'm really going to be prioritizing this as well, because I know I've learned so much through you and Nova and through those podcast conversations, which are so important. They're so insightful and so helpful for me. I'm going to be ordering Layla's, but also Pav, my husband, is going to be reading, I think, Layla's book as well. I think we'd agreed to choose a book to read together, like a book
That's
club, and then we can be
a good idea
discussing what we're learning. And because I feel I need to have more knowledge to be able to call it out when I see it. And I think that's where my journey needs to begin, with just the education and the knowledge, so that I can participate in conversations more from that place of knowledge, and just have the uncomfortable conversations that I know. And, you know, as you say, the uncomfortable work that you need to do to understand it.
Yeah, I have to. I think once you become comfortable with just accepting your own inner racism, it becomes a lot easier. Because it's just like, okay, this is something that I'm, and actually also recognizing that this is something for me that I will always have to be taking the layers off and shining a light on it. And it will always be something that will be there, and I will need to keep looking at. It's not like, oh, I did a course and now I'm one of the good ones. It's like, oh, I did a course and now I'm all perfect and free from any racist programming that, you know, is so systemic in our society. There's no way you can't grow up in a racist society that has that sort of racist undercurrent without it having gone into your system. And it's just thinking about it's like the iceberg, you know, it's not what's going on top. It's just like, but I've got black friends, I've got black and brown friends, and da 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 da. And then it's what's going on under the iceberg that even you're not aware of. And that's why we find it uncomfortable, because deep down we know something's lurking under there, and it's not a nice thing to look at. This is the work that needs to be done. So, but that's the thing, that's a brilliant idea to do it with Pav, because when I did it, I found it a very lonely journey. And actually since then, a very good friend of mine, who's also a neighbor, she's been doing this work. So we have these brilliant conversations and get to kind of call each other in, as Nova likes to call it, call each other in to the conversation, and call each other in on, you know, where we're white centering And yeah, so that's what's happening. It's just, it's so heavy, isn't it? It's just like kind of leaves you a bit.
And it's just so raw right now as we're recording this. Very raw. And I just feel heartbroken. I feel, everything's sort of at the surface right now. And we have a friend in LA, and I spoke to her yesterday. And she led us in a group meditation last night. And we just really just meditated on it together in a small group.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday. And it's just, it's very raw. It's very heavy.
Yeah. And I think also, even if, you know, when you're white and you're thinking, feeling powerless, what am I supposed to do? What can I do? There are absolutely things you can do. And once you start really educating yourself and doing the work, then you will start to realize the things, the small things, if everyone does in their sphere of influence, what they can do, and everyone starts to be actively anti-racist, then that's how we're going to bring about change. So I just think this has to, what's happening now has to, or needs to be a trigger for all white people to step up and go, okay, what small part can I play? Rather than getting overwhelmed with how can we possibly change this? And we won't see it be, resolved in our lifetime. And that's also, that's okay. We just, you'd be part of the longer journey. But it's just about being proactive and discovering what you can do and learning what you can do. And there's a lot of information and education out there. Just Google it. As people always say, just Google it. You'll find plenty. Oh, so deep breath. Whew. And the other thing that we wanted to talk about today, this being an episode on life in lockdown, was to start looking, as we're beginning to leave lockdown here in the UK. Some kids are going back to school. Obviously, some of you are already going. Obviously, some of you have been working, going out and working throughout the whole pandemic. But some of you are starting to go back to work. Before we do all start crawling out of our cocoons and start being able to hold each other, or at least stand close to each other, we wanted to just take a moment to think about what have we learned from lockdown? What positive lessons have we learned through this lockdown period that we actually want to continue when things do go back to how they were gradually, slowly over time? Because that's something that's been coming up in our love-in sessions every Monday on Zoom, is that so many positive things have come out of it, just the way we are living, slowing down, being more in touch with nature, and not wanting to lose some of those things. And so how do we make sure that we carry those things through? So today we're going to talk about what we both want to keep up after lockdown, and sharing how we're going to help ourselves to do that. So Vicky, what have been the positives for you in lockdown that you want to carry through with you when we can all be hanging out in pubs again and going to the cinema? And what else can we do? Working in offices. Working in cafes, going to a cafe, getting on the tube. I mean, these are all things that I'm not actually desperate to get back to. I'm interested in two things. What is it that you are wanting to keep a hold of that you've learned during lockdown? But also, what are you excited about being able to do? Obviously, other than just you and I hugging, what else are you excited about doing?
So I'll start with some of the lessons. So I think I mentioned it in the last podcast, just realizing the power of simplicity and just like really enjoying a simpler life, and realizing what's really important. And it's my relationships, it's being out in nature, it's spending time with animals and family. And that's something that I've really cultivated more of, a connection with my family, and things like, you know, family quizzes that have been going on, and a family WhatsApp group that started up during lockdown. And so I'm way more connected to family now than I was before. So that's just such a nice benefit that's come out of this, and I definitely want to continue to cultivate that connection with family, because it's been so so healing and nourishing to be in their bubble, you know, to be connected with them more and know what they're up to. Literally every day I know what they're all up to, because they all share it on WhatsApp, and that's something that I wouldn't have had access to before. I'd probably see them not even once a year sometimes with my extended family. So yeah, it's been really nourishing to have that connection with them, and I definitely want to keep that going.
So special. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's I mean, that's a, that will ha- that is like quite a life-changing turn of events.
Yeah. And it's interesting that it's come at a time when I was starting to do a lot more inner child healing, which I talked about on some of the earlier episodes. And it's just sort of strengthened that even more than having that connection with them. And just not being so overscheduled, and just having a bit of space in my calendar to breathe. And that's been massive for me.
So this is my question then, because I feel exactly the same. This simplicity, being at home more. I used to feel, in part because my home, we've been doing upper house for the past couple of years. So we were living in, like, camping out really in a couple of rooms. And so home didn't feel like I couldn't, there wasn't, didn't even have, I still don't have a sofa to relax on, but at least I've got a hammock and a garden now. So I'm not complaining at all. And the garden is new since just before lockdown, actually, which was a godsend. But that time at home, not being overscheduled, absolutely. Mm. That's exactly what I'm just like. I'm a little bit afraid of going back to being overscheduled, particularly, you know, once we start being allowed to see our friends and hang out in groups of, I don't know, they'll be like, no, you can hang out with three families at the same time, and then it'll be, and you can hang out indoors, and then, you know, slowly but surely, people will, obviously, I'll be wanting to see all my friends, but then they'll suddenly will go back into, like, every weekend there being something on, which is wonderful. But my question to myself is, will I find it then hard to say no and to create that space and time, because I'll be so torn. I don't have a problem with saying no, but I know I'll really want to see my friends, and so then I'll be like, it's not even that, oh, I don't really want to see them, how shall I say no, it's like, I do really want to see them, but I do also really want to just be pottering around with no plans, so
yes, me too.
You know, it's gonna be really hard.
Yeah,
it's gonna be difficult. And I think what do you think you're going to do to keep creating that space and that simplicity and that stillness that I think so many of us have been enjoying during lockdown?
Yeah. I mean, I'm exactly the same as you. It's not a question of, I struggle to set boundaries with friends. It's like, no, I just struggle to know, it's not a case of saying no, it's just knowing you want to do all the things, but also knowing that you appreciate that time on your own and that quality time and stillness as well. So it's sort of like having, maybe it's, I think you said something on the Love In earlier today about having a weekend every month that you know is ring-fenced.
Yeah.
That really inspired me. I think it's something like that, where it's not a boundary. It's a boundary, but it's not like, oh, I need to learn how to say no to friends. It's not that. It's just sort of knowing what you've really enjoyed in lockdown and, protect that space. Yeah, it's sort of protecting it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's this is where the life design tools can come in so powerfully, because if you know, right, because we already did this actually, my partner and I would usually have a weekend where it's like, can we not have do anything. My partner's really into the not doing anything. He's much better at work at life balance, it turns out, than I am. constantly realizing this, particularly as if I'm writing the book on burnout and thriving. I'm like, man, he's been doing this all along. I just thought he was being lazy. And it's like, no, he just knows how to rest. And I am so subscribed to my workaholic tendencies to view rest as a waste of time or, you know, being lazy. But if you know that you want to have that simplicity and time to be still and more time for that, then it's about looking at your calendar a month in advance, a couple of months in advance, going, that is going to be the weekend where I do that. And if something comes in and someone's like, surprise, I'm getting married on that weekend, then you're not going to be like, oh gosh, unfortunately, I can't come because I'm having a weekend to myself. You then go, okay, I really do want to go to my friend's sudden, you know, surprise wedding. I will move that weekend with myself, reschedule it to here, you know, and it's, you know, if you really have to move it. But most of the time it's like, if someone says, hey, do you want to maybe come around for a barbecue that weekend? Go, I can't that weekend, but how about you suggest one that you can, you know? Yeah. And I think it's about putting that time in for yourself. The tricky thing for me, I know how to protect my, you know, I know how to schedule that stuff in, design my life, use my calendar as my canvas. But it's sometimes knowing how much time I actually need. So I can come to the end of a quarter and do our check-in and be like, I am exhausted. And what that means is I just hadn't realized how much more time I probably needed to rest and relax and do nothing than I often allow myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, so it's experimenting and exploring, but definitely booking that stuff in before all the invitations come flooding in. Here's me thinking I'm going to be invited all the time. I'll be like, oh, I see. No one's, I've had no invitation. That's fine too. But yeah. I think blocking out, that's how you've got to do it. You've got to schedule it in exactly the same way you would schedule in a weekend visiting a friend or going to a friend's for a barbecue or having them over.
Yeah, you're right. It's knowing what works for you and calibrating yeses and nos and your calendar. And because it's difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes, you know, say an invitation comes in, I would think, I'm lacking in energy. But sometimes that thing would energize me and it would give me energy. And other times I probably just needed to have a bit of me time. And it's sort of knowing for you when those times are, or sort of based on past experience, like whether something would energize you, whether it's actually best to, knowing yourself and your energy, it's best to just have some me time and recharge your batteries.
And it's, you're so right, sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes you're like, oh my god, I cannot be bothered to go out for dinner right now, or particularly in the winter. Actually, in the summer I'm a lot more up for it, but in the cold dark winter months I'm like, leave the house, ugh, it's the last thing I want to do. And then you'll be there and be like, this is the best thing I could have done. Yeah. I feel wonderful. And other times, you know, you'll force yourself to go out and then be like, oh, I really wish I hadn't done that. So
yeah,
you also don't always know. It's like, you're not always going to get it right. You're not always going to be able to know exactly what we need. But I think certainly you, from lockdown, realizing how much more time I need. Just not have, as much as not having responsibilities is also, which as a parent and just having a lot on, I just need to sometimes ring fence time where I'm like, right, I know I've got things on my to-do list, but they are not going to be done now because I need time free from that. It's also ring fencing time for myself and ring fencing time for, you know, these other things that we've found during lockdown we really enjoy, like being out in nature, you know, reading and things that I think it's often, well, I wonder, it's sometimes things that we normally only do on holiday. You know, like reading, sitting in the sun and reading. And actually there has been time for that. But sometimes those might be things you'd only normally do on holiday. I think it's important sometimes to look at, what do I do on holiday that I really enjoy? Yeah. And then allow yourself to do some of those things when you're not officially on holiday. You know, I think sometimes we forget that we're, allowed to do that kind of stuff and to create time for it. Because otherwise, when we do get back into the rush of life, and we will get back into the rush of life, you know, this just the slow down lockdown won't have changed all of that. We will, that speed will come back. And it can whip us up into the slipstream before we know it.
Yeah. And I think that for me, I've really learned how to live and work in ways that don't have me going into fight or flight mode so much.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a calmer way of working, being at home more. Obviously it's come with it came with its challenges in the first few weeks as we started to find our groove and rhythm with it. But it's definitely been a slower pace, and I've definitely felt calmer. And I think that when you then try and, I think because we've all adapted to a different way, and you know that means something different for everyone, it's sort of then readapting or sort of going back to the old way can mean that you're less tolerant of those ways of working. And that's definitely the way for me. I won't be as tolerant now going back to that way of working that was faster and
more adrenalized.
Yeah,
100%. And I think for me it's about doing less and allowing life to be slower and simpler. Mm-hmm. That I really want to maintain that. Mm-hmm. My battle is always like, well, if you go too slow and do too little in terms of work, then you won't make enough money. So, you know, don't go too slow and too little. You want to be able to pay the bills. But I really believe in, you know, our coach, Dr. Talene, who's all about abundance and mindset. It's like, why can you not have abundance and ease and going slower, going at a pace where you feel is a nourishing pace rather than a frantic pace? And so much of what I've been researching and writing about for my book on burnout is this the way we work today, whether you work in an office or whether you work at home, because we replicate it, it's so based on this belief that we have to be in this stressed out mode to like make things happen fast and, you know, furious. And that's hustle, hustle, hustle. And actually, when you look at being in that fight or flight mode, it's like the most, it's the worst version of you. You are unable to think clearly. Your IQ has dropped. You are irritable. You get tunnel vision. You can't see the big picture. You're inefficient. You're prone to making mistakes. You're slower. You're less productive. It's like, why are we thinking that this is the optimum way of getting the best out of you? And it's such a strong, it's that way of working is everywhere. Everyone is drinking that Kool-Aid and thinking that's how you have to be. And it's just like, I mean, stress is important, but the right kind of stress, that panic stress, that distress, that's only supposed to be for emergency situations. And what happens is our minds haven't caught up with modern life. So our brains think that a looming deadline, the fact that we need to make money and pay rent next month, or whatever it is, that's so it triggers this, it feels that it's a threat to our survival. And so it triggers the fight or flight response. So what you've been doing is learning to calm your nervous system. And what I've started saying is anytime you feel that stress rising, then take a time out.
Yeah.
Calm your system down, because you're not thinking clearly. Your body now thinks you are under serious threat. You're not. You just have to meet a deadline, or you just have to, whatever it is, and calm your nervous system down and take time out to do that, because you'll be smarter, more productive, more efficient, think more clearly.
Yeah.
If you do that, it's counterintuitive because of what we've been programmed into. But this panic and urgency, I hate that that grid that has urgent, not important, like urgent and important, I don't know what it is,
non-important and urgent.
So my friend who's a doctor, and I said to her, I hate that grid, I said, because urgent, like, So many people use it, just the very word urgent triggers you immediately into fight or flight. Mm-hmm. We need to be using different words, but that sense of urgency that I think is so just runs through our day to day, particularly in a city like London where we live, that sense of urgency, people rushing around. It's just like very few of them are dealing with a life or death situation, but their body feels that they're in a life or death situation. And I'm a terrible one for that stress. It's because I also buzz off it.
Yeah. And it's really redefining productivity. And I feel that that's been really on my mind. And we've talked about it a lot in the self-love podcast. And it really came up, didn't it, last year when we were talking about all of the self-love podcasts for 28 Days of Love, like learning about how, you know, productivity is not just the yang energy, it's everything you just described. It's like the mixture of both yin and yang. And I just can't wait to read more about that in your books. I know that that's so much of what your book is about, you know, redefining what it means to thrive and be productive. And it's not what we've been taught to believe it is. And in a way that feels more enjoyable, we feel happier and more fulfilled, and it doesn't cost us our health.
Yeah, but that's the great news, because it's the great news is that it's not like either I'm like smashing at work and being really productive, or I'm nourishing myself, working at a slower pace, but I'm like mediocre. No, if you actually dare to nourish yourself and balance yourself with that yin yang energy, you know, focus and then rest. This is what goes into the book about we are rhythmic. You know, we have a rhythm, we have this ultradian rhythm where we have our brain has high activity and then low activity throughout the day, and you need to harness that to then keep re-energizing yourself. When you do that, you are going to be a lot more productive, you're going to do better work, and you're also not going to have to trigger the stress response to override that your need for rest. So it's so fascinating. And of course, this isn't new, this whole rejection of the feminine, nourishment, rest, stillness, and obsession with all that is masculine, progress, speed, action. That's what we're being crushed under. And which is why, in a way, this coronavirus that's forcing everyone to be still, you know, feels like a nature's way of balancing things out, teaching us an important lesson.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm also conscious that I say that as someone who hasn't lost someone to coronavirus, I think I would be feeling very differently, that the lovely lesson of balance when I'd lost a loved one. So I'm also careful of saying that. But yeah, but I think, but the importance of that yin-yang balance, I love it. It fascinates me, because I've really rejected that yin, that feminine. You know, I'm a real subscriber to masculine energy, and it's never a good thing. It's never done me. You've got to have both. You also don't want to reject, you know, it's not about rejecting all that is yang and masculine energy. It's about having both in equal measure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so just more of that. And I think it's just to keep these conversations going, to keep reminding ourselves to come back into that slower pace that we want to be in. And calming our nervous systems.
Yeah.
And you're right, like kind of a new way of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And also holding one another to account as well.
Yeah.
This is, you know, just reminding one another, you know, you wanted to make things, you know, you wanted life to be simpler. And I noticed that your calendar, I just noticed you've been partying every weekend. And I'll be like, I couldn't say no to the invitation. I think using our calendars to create that space. That's why I'm a really big believer in using your calendar as your canvas, because it could be so easy to get swept away. And even things like taking a time out in the day to check in with, how am I doing? I need to calm my nervous system. Mm. You know, because I will say, so also my other news that's been happening, I've finished almost, just one more chapter to go. I handed in the first draft of my book on burnout. But over the last week, it's been intensive writing and working. And I was like, I'm actually feeling really calm. But I noticed that my shoulders were in extraordinary pain. And my jaw was really sore and tender. And I was like, I don't think I've been quite as calm as I have been pretending in my head. My body is suggesting something else. So having to take that time to just relax and do things that I could to relax my body and relax my system. And yeah, but creating time for that too, creating time to calm your nervous system.
Yeah.
Because being stressed is so normalized and accepted, so an accepted way of working in our society that we're going to have to work really mindfully and consciously to help us out of that each time we, you know, flip into stress mode, adrenaline gets going. But yeah, what are you looking forward to, Vicky, as we when we're allowed out?
Hugs. Yeah. When I imagine life after lockdown, it's just a lot of hugging and embracing and just being together with friends and just spending quality time.
Yes. Do you know that's the key? It's the quality time. It's not just going out for going out's sake. It's going out for quality time. So if you quality time with yourself at home and quality time with your friends, and then, you know, because there's always a pub you can be going to with friends, I think. There's always someone going out. So yeah, mindful curating of our own calendars, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Mindful curating of your calendar.
Just write that one down.
That's a new one. Quick, get it in the book before it goes to print. shall we wrap up there for today? I think so. It's just as ever, sending a lot of love. We were in our loving group today. One of the ladies, Hannah, was talking about, what was it, the third quarter phase of self-isolation. The studies are being done, or have been done. People that they study people in submarines and people who are
astronauts.
You know, astronauts. And it's the third quarter that we are currently in, where people start being irritable. What was it? Irritable,
exhausted,
frustrated, depressed, low energy, low mood, low morale.
Yeah.
And also we were talking about, you know, the anxiety of actually, I don't want to go out into the world. The idea of going to a crowded, like a pub or something, I'm like, maybe I just don't want to go to them anymore anyway. Maybe I never really enjoyed them. I don't know, but I just, yeah.
When did we ever go to pubs?
Well, occasionally, Vicky. Now and again, you know. So we're still going through it. I'm in so much denial. I keep thinking any day now it's all going to be over, but that's just my coping mechanism. But yeah. Well, it's heavy times, but sending you all huge amounts of love. I was going to say sorry for the low energy, but I think honors what's going on. What's going on in the world and the gravity of it and the weight and heaviness of it. And so any last words from you, Vicky?
So as we've been talking, you may have been thinking of your own lessons from lockdown. And if you haven't, then take a mindful moment to think of one or two lessons, the things that you've learned during this time, and see if you can consciously and mindfully, I'm going to try and remember your phrase, Sally.
Curate your calendar.
Yeah, bring it into your calendar, bring it into your life post-lockdown.
Yes, let's get designing our lives post-lockdown, lives that are more nourishing, simpler, with more stillness and more yin energy in them.
And lots of hugs.
And lots of hugs. A lot of hugging.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.